If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. So in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus, Paul addresses the older men, the younger men, the older women, the younger women, widows, parents, children, adult children, and grandchildren. Everybody, really. At any point in your life, you might fit into a number of those different categories. And the common theme that ties all of them together for every one of those categories is that everyone has responsibilities. Older are training the younger are caring for the older when that time comes. There's leading and there's following and there's obeying and all these things. And in our verse that we just read, we see that in all of our responsibilities in life, we are to have a special care for our household. We are to have a loyalty in our relationships, one that is higher than the others, and that is to our families. It's good and proper, if I can say it this way, to be more loyal to your children than to other people's children. Right? We are called to care for all people as much as we are able, but the Bible says, especially our own people. There is a context to where you are especially called to be. There is a loyalty. Your primary obedience lies there. We are to establish godly households that function for the glory of God. And so we actually need to have a healthy inward focus on the needs of our families, and we're to build them up. This family unit really matters. Paul goes out to say, especially them. Make sure you're caring for them. And then he goes so far to say that if you do not have this loyalty to your family, that one has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's an incredibly strong statement. That always stops me dead in my tracks. What a weight he puts on this loyalty to the family to go so far. So we're called to have a fierce loyalty and a deep care for our own families. They are to be our priority. So if your life is too busy, what does God want you to do? He wants you to go home and take care of your family. That's the first priority. You are not to submit to every husband out there. You're to submit to your own. You're not to feed everybody's children. You are to feed your own. There is a primary responsibility that God has given you. As a baseline test for how we live out our faith, God points us toward home and how we care for our families. Now, this should be a massive point in our minds, and it should also come as a great relief as well. What should I do with my life? Take care of your family. Oh, okay, I can do that, right? I have a place to be. And in my own life, now that my own kids are getting married and moving out, I can see that more clearly than ever before. What a treasure. Those years were, and how precious the years ahead are. An unspeakable blessing to hear the voice of the Lord say, go home and take care of your family. To know that is where I belong, that's where my children belong, that's where my wife belongs. And that is a blessing we can easily miss in a world that hates the blessings of God, would call them curses. So a basic benchmark where we start of the Christian faith is men and women who go home. They take care of their children and they build godly households. God wants you to take care of your family. God wants there to be peace and joy in your home. God wants families who love being together. And who of us doesn't want that? So tonight, we're going to press in a little bit into this blessing and see what it means in particular for wives to provide for their families. We talked to the men last time. What is the man's responsibility in providing for his family? How do wives provide for their family? Each gender has been given a certain focus. tasks. Those tasks should be received by us with joy and eagerness, and we see the great blessings that they are. So let's look at what the wives are to do. Titus 2, 4 and 5. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5 says this. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So since we're in the context tonight of providing for our own household, we're going to focus there. And we're going to look at the three pillars of womanhood in the home. Three pillars of womanhood in the home. We are going to call this Wifery 101. Wifery 101. First pillar. We just read. You are to be the keeper of the home. Keeper of the home. Paul says that wives are to be instructed to work at home. This is something you need to be taught. You should hear this in the church. You should hear this when you read the word. You should hear this from older women who speak into your life. It says, instruct them. We need to be taught to be the keeper of the home. Busy at home, some translations say. Now, many of you do this already. This is not new to you, so here's the question. What does it take to be a keeper of the home? So in a little bit of detail, if God has directed your focus there, he says, daughter, he brings you, he says, daughter, you are going to be the keeper of this home. God has said that to you. Daughter, you are going to be the keeper of this home. What is God telling you to do? You are to be busy doing what? Make a list. Just shut them up. Making food. Just put food for brevity's sake. It's a big one. Cleaning. Yep. More?
Laundry.
The group is sounding sadder as we go. Laundry. Is it laundry or laundry?
That's right.
This is right. All right. More?
Scheduling.
I didn't catch the second one. Was that?
Training children.
Scheduling. Training. There. More.
Prayer.
Yeah.
Rejoicing.
Absolutely. Do you ladies have any idea what impact you have on your husband when he comes home and he finds you rejoicing? Unbelievable! I could say that way louder, but then Marcella would say, why are you yelling at me? That is a wonderful thing. Anything else?
Would hospitality fall in?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Beautifying. If I write it messy enough, then we can pretend I spelled it right.
Maintenance. How about resting?
I'm sorry?
Resting.
You bet. Your presence in the home has impact whether you are buzzing around or whether you are resting. Scheduling, I'm gonna tie that together with, food, scheduling, shopping, very often. What's that?
There's a lot that has to do with scheduling.
Yes, yeah. No, you see that even when just someone says food, like, wow, okay, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that is a huge, it's a huge thing. I feel bad just putting food, okay. All right, we could keep going on that, but let's put that there. Now, that is a pretty good list. So then, are we saying that when God tells wives to be busy at home, my daughter, keep this home, you're a worker at home, is God telling them to do those things? Has God really said? Yes. Yes, he has. If we say, be the keeper at home, that's not very specific. And that may mean something, it may not mean. But when you stop and say, well, what does it mean to keep the home? And very quickly you come up with a list like that. Ah, has God really said? Now, this then is what would be called gendered piety. Gendered piety. That God has given the two genders tasks, roles in life, and piety is the fulfillment of religious obligations. I haven't told you, based on me, to do these things. God has said, train the young women to do this. It is a religious obligation. Gendered piety. Both of the sexes have been given roles. And if we are going to receive them with thanksgiving and obey them, do what God has told us to do, that's piety. The fulfillment of religious obligation. So, as we have said before, generally speaking, God wants the women to make the sandwiches, just like he wants the men to shovel the driveway. Now, many of you are probably great at shoveling the driveway. I make an awesome sandwich. It's not exclusive. That's why we say generally speaking. These things are not bad. They are not demeaning. They are not beneath you. They are God's command to you, saying, teach the women to do these things. They are your religious obligations. They are your glory. They are the command and the intention of God. You are the keepers of the home. Next pillar, the wives are to be a lover of their husband. You are to be a lover of your husband. What does that look like? What does that mean? Shout him out.
Respect.
Respect.
Lover.
Lover. First class answer. Absolutely.
Prayer.
Prayer, 100%.
Encourager.
Encourager. Man, I wish I had words to explain to you ladies how much of an encourager you can be to your husbands. If you
support.
Only...
Sorry?
Support. Support. Absolutely.
Submissive.
Submissive. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Help.
Help. Absolutely. You are his helper.
Cheerleader.
Cheerleader. What a beautiful phrase. For a man to know he has a cheerleader behind him. He will go to the ends of the earth. And of course, a lot of these things tie over into that. You love your husband by doing a lot of those things as well. Excellent. Good list. Third pillar of womanhood in the home, being a wife in the home. You are to be a lover of children. God has given them to you. That is a whole other topic for a different day. But for now, the word instructs you to be a lover of your children. What does that look like? We started here already. Training. More.
Discipline.
Discipline. Yay. Listen.
Play.
Sorry?
Play.
Play. Your kids need you to play with them. Yeah.
Teaching.
Teaching.
A desire for them.
A desire for them. How about that?
Listening.
A desire for them. What was that? Listening?
Listening.
Listening.
Thankfulness.
Thankfulness.
Patience.
Patience. How about that? Eh?
Showing grace.
Showing grace. training.
Touch.
What's that?
Physical touch.
Physical touch. Kids need that. Whether it's giving them a hug or changing their diapers, they need you to touch them. And again, a lot of those things will pile over there. Okay. We could keep piling on those lists, but I think we're kind of getting the idea there. Coming out of that, the next question, if you will, if you are to do these things in providing for your family, right? If anyone does not provide, we want to provide. Wifery 101 would tell us, keeper of the home, lover of husband, lover of children. In what manner are we to do that? Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Colossians 3, 23 to 24, this is the passage where it talks about wives submitting to your husbands, husbands love your wives. And near the end of that, as he's instructing the family, he says, whatever you do, right, whether you're a husband, whether you are a wife, whatever your instructions are, whatever your gendered piety is, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. The instruction to work unto the Lord and this promise of reward is directly in the context of serving your family. That's where that instruction comes from, to work as unto the Lord. It's in the context of serving your family in Colossians 3. And moreover, it highlights there that it is the Lord Jesus that you are serving. So this is not mundane life. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through the homes that you keep, where children first hear the gospel, training, discipline, where the bonds of family are forged, where the next generation is built, where love overcomes evil. The children see that for the very first time, where the gospel is lived out, and where Christ and the church are most clearly seen. The home is where the glory is. And we are called to serve Jesus in loving and providing for our family. A neat little quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, "The homemaker has the ultimate career. All other careers exist for one purpose only, and that is to support the ultimate career." Why do men go to work? To provide for their families. To exercise dominion and subdue it so their families can grow and flourish, so you can do what God has told you to do. It is glorious. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friends. And wives, mothers, what are you doing in your homes if not laying down your life for those whom you love, becoming like Christ and bringing glory to God in your fruitfulness. The praise of the home has been drowned out by the hatred of the world, right? They shout down the home. They insult the wife who works there. They sneer at the thought of marriage and children, monogamy, submission, motherhood. And we must not listen to the world. Not a bit of it. It is full of lies and deceit, and if you let it, it's going to rob you of all the joy that God has for you. Now, obviously, all of these things that we wrote down there are not always by nature joyful, right? No one looks at the pile of dishes and says, "Yay! Just what I was hoping for." You don't wake up in the morning excited about the prospect of changing diapers. You've talked about climbing up the north face of Laundry Mountain. That's tough, right? It's not always joyful. We live in the real world, after all, and our work comes with thorns and thistles, weariness, repetition, mess, repetition, mess, repetition. And around we go. So how do we find joy in all of this? We are instructed to work as unto the Lord. We're instructed to have joy, and we're instructed to do these things. They have to go together. Joy and dishes have to go together. God has said so. So here is the key as we move forward into this, and we'll expand on this a little bit. We'll use dishes because that's just a good example. I'll mention that one, but it goes for all of them. You don't do the dishes because they're dirty. That's not why you do them. I mean, of course, it is why you do them. You don't go and wash the dishes when they're clean, unless you've really lost your mind and you got to get out of the house a little bit. Yeah, if anyone ever finds you washing the clean dishes, I hope they take you out for supper or something. But fundamentally, that's not the reason why you wash them. And you get this right, and you will start to find the joy in the work of keeping the home. I'm going to give you four reasons to do the dishes, other than that they are dirty. And if you do them for these reasons, you're going to find joy. Because if you only do them because they're dirty, then you're going to lose your joy. The sheer repetition of it all is going to overwhelm you. All the dishes have been washed, and yet there they are, as dirty as they have ever been. All the rivers flow into the sea, and yet the sea is not yet full. Meaningless, meaningless, says the philosopher. That's not what we want. So what we need is some heart work of joy so that the handwork can also become a joy. Get the heart right, and the rest will follow. Plug the hole in the boat, remember? You don't want to be a woman who is always bailing and never sailing. Plug the hole in the boat and you can hit the seas with some joy in your sails. So by giving you dishes, wives, be a keeper of the home. And part of that is cleaning. Dishes. And again, you're not the only one that's supposed to do the dishes, but generally speaking, by giving you the dishes, God did not condemn you to a life of misery. He has given you a road to joy and a promise of fruitfulness and beauty, the way in which you will receive the fruit of your hands and be blessed. So the first reason we do the dishes, other than that they're dirty, we do them for Christ. We are told explicitly, chapter and verse, that it is the Lord Jesus that you are serving. Those are his dishes that you are washing. You ever think of it that way? You do them for him, the one who has bought you with his own blood. When you wash the dishes, you are doing it for him. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So this is something to get into your mind right when you start your day. The messes I clean up today are being done for Christ. I don't wash the dishes because they're dirty. I wash them because I love Jesus. And when your heart is prepared like this beforehand, then when you see the dishes, you see Jesus' dishes. And you should. This is not some mind trick to make you think differently. The Bible actually says, do it for him. It is him that you are serving, and from him you will receive a reward. And either that's true or it's not. And it is true. So imagine, right? Obviously, Jesus comes over for supper. He's at your place. And when supper is over, Jesus is happy because you made something wonderful. And you pick up his plate and you go, oh, this plate won't wash itself, I guess. I'll just do it. Right? It's crazy to think of. You would never do that. That would never cross your mind. And the Bible tells us it is actually the Lord Jesus you are serving. There's nothing mundane about that. One reason we wash the dishes, other than that they're dirty, is that we do it for Christ. Second reason. Family. This ties in with what we've already been saying about providing for your household, keeper of the home. Your family. You love your family. Sometimes we forget that. The thorns and the thistles can make us forget. Men can get so discouraged at their work. I'm sure you've experienced that too. They can forget why they're there in the first place. And they're there to provide for those they love the most, their own people, their household, those who are their own flesh and blood. And women can forget too. And we need lessons in remembrance. And you think back. When you got engaged and you were married. All the hopes and dreams. There they are. I can see all of them in that picture. Hopes and dreams. A pile of them. How many dreams did you have? Of love and relationship, home, family. And wherever you're at now, take a moment to look back at what you've all received. Can you not see the desires of your heart being given to you? Or can all you see is the dishes and the disappointments? Almost none of us get all of our hopes and dreams. This world is full of losses and crosses, as the Puritans like to say. But God, in his mercy, gives us the desires of our heart. And sometimes we forget. We're no longer thankful. We don't remember. And it's just those dishes again. I just did them. And there they are. And we need to take a lesson in remembrance, to remember what God has done for you. How much you love your family, your husband, your kids, if you have them. When you see those dishes, do you see your family around the table? The smiles of children, the laughter of your husband, full tummies and family togetherness. It doesn't happen by accident. You know that better than anybody. After supper is over, if everyone is happy and full and rejoicing, you know exactly what it took to get them there. You had to plan. You scheduled. You shopped. You cooked. You served. You kept the home. And through that, the family was blessed. It doesn't happen by accident. It's a discipline. We need to remember the great blessings of our God and plug that hole in the boat with the love of your family, and the joy will come. Third reason. You do it for the glory. You wash the dishes for the glory. It is in the home that the next generation is shaped, formed, trained, prepared to stand in their day. And if you have children, chances are they will have children. That means one day you're going to be the mother of thousands. Tens of thousands will come from your body. You are crafting the arrows that will be sent into the future. And this is no exaggeration at all. Please hear it straight. And I mean this with all sincerity. Those dishes represent God's weapons for the gospel in the future. There is great glory in households that build for the future. Know that you are fashioning God's weapons of tomorrow. Children like the arrows that you send into the future. Where do those children come from? They're forged in your home where you are charged with being the keeper. And you do those things for them. They are being forged into the weapons that God is going to use for tomorrow. Your faithfulness at the kitchen sink, again, no exaggeration, hear it straight, means faithful gospel proclamation 100 years from now. It really does. Not in its entirety, of course, but truly. It truly does. What you are forging in your home where you have been made a keeper and a lover, you are ensuring faithful gospel proclamation 100 years and more. A sword may be made in the factory, but it is intended for the battlefield. You ladies forge the future as a keeper of your home and a lover of your husband and children. You forge the heart of your children by the attitude that you have at the kitchen sink. They will see you, and they will see your attitude. What are you forging? Oh, there's great glory in that. When we look at it with biblical eyes, ladies, never, never look down on your station in life, you're not going to see it down there. It is not down there. Look up. Look up, and as you learn to see it in its proper place, the mundane vanishes, and the glory of it produces joy. Fourth reason. For reward. As if all of that wasn't already rewarding. The fourth reason that you do the dishes is for the reward of it. Plain and simple, you do it for the inheritance. Dishes done for the glory of God in service to Jesus brings with it the promise of eternal reward. Your hidden work in the home that no one sees is not hidden at all. God sees it. It is seen in the throne room of God, and God blesses it, and he promises a great reward. It is the Lord Jesus you are serving. The reward is your inheritance. You need to learn to think big. And again, this is not a dramatization at all. I'm not messing with you. It is real. The reward is real. I'm not puffing you up. Remember, Jesus said that giving so much as a cup of water to a little one who is a disciple, that one will inherit their reward. How much more a mom who gives her life for her children? You didn't just give them a glass of water, did you? You gave it all. In becoming like Christ and laying down your life for those whom you keep and whom you love. Oh yes, there is reward. And God has told us, and it's good to do it for reward. There's so much more going on than dishes. So when you set your heart right, you plug the hole in the boat, and you see your work in the home in a totally different light. You see Jesus, you see your family, you see your family's future, you see your own future. God has placed the biggest blessings in the tiniest of places, even in your little home. There sits eternity. There sits the weapons being forged for the future gospel battles. That's what you're doing. So if you can handle the metaphor, it's a little bit like climbing into a wardrobe and finding yourself in Narnia. That's the home. That's the home. It's your little wardrobe. But it's Narnia, isn't it? With the promises of God in our heart, the home really is a magical place. Now, for sure, it's all a battle. Wifery 101 is not simple. No one walks into the kitchen and says, "Yes, I have discovered heaven." It's not like that. You know that. I know that. But these things are not lies. They are authentically what the Bible teaches. They are authentically what God says to you. Teach the women. Teach them these things. Tell them of their reward. Don't let them or anyone else look down on their station. Whatever it is that you're doing at home, don't let anyone look down on it. You guard that fiercely. May you be blessed with a man who guards that fiercely, a church who guards that fiercely. This is true. And yes, it's work. It's a lot of work, which is precisely why God revealed these things to us. So you have an anchor for your soul. When up Laundry Mountain you go again, and you have an anchor for your soul. There is a road to joy. There is a way to plug the hole in the boat. Fill your sails with joy. You start this first thing in the morning when you wake up. Remember the Lord. Remember what he has said. Be thankful for what he has given. And pray for more blessing and more grace. To stay at it, to see with new eyes what it is that you're actually doing. That's how it's done. God has given you your home and whatever and whoever is in it. And he has said, "Daughter, you are the keeper of this home." It's not perfect in your home. It's not perfect in mine. There are things there that I'm sure you desire that you don't have. And we don't know what the future will all bring. God doesn't give us just everything finished and perfect. Home work is messy work. And sometimes there's a lot of tears. God doesn't give us the completed, finished product. He gives it to us as he does, and then he instructs us, go make it grow. Go make it grow. Make it beautiful. And he wants you, wives, to bring glory to this world, and it starts in your home. So with the promises to you settled in your heart, thanksgiving on your lips, you head to the kitchen with joy in your sails, and you get about being the glory of your husband, the mother of your children, and you go about being the daughter of the king. Mind your post. It's good. And it is glorious. You are called to beauty. So go be beautiful. May God open our eyes to see the blessings of being the keeper of the home. Let us pray.